Hey, this is Brian with the Group Answer Show. So how are your Bible study groups doing after the disruptions of the past few years? Recent data from Lifeway Research provides valuable insights into the state of groups, leading to practical steps for fostering vibrant and healthy groups. The State of Groups Insights report provides an inside look at how churches across the nation are conducting their group ministries, the key ministry for making disciples in the local church. Packed with insights for your group ministry, the report equips pastors and group ministry leaders to multiply kingdom impact by equipping group leaders to make disciples through groups ministry. Visit lifewayresearch.com/stateofgroups to read the full report, explore the data, and learn how to establish a healthy and thriving groups ministry.
Welcome to the Group Answers Podcast. I'm your host, Brian Daniel. This is the weekly show designed specifically for pastors, disciple makers, group pastors, and small group leaders. Truly, we are created to help anyone with bottom line responsibilities for discipleship. Our goal is simple: to resource, train, and encourage you in the vital work of discipleship. This is the Group Answers Podcast. Let's do it. Welcome back to the Group Answers Show, and I am Brian Daniel, as always, and special guest today, I've got Jimmy and Kelly Needham all the way from, they describe it as South Dallas, but I just know it as the DFW. So, Jimmy, Kelly, welcome to the show. It's good to see you. We are in the studio today, so you are a little bit farther away than what I'm used to seeing, but it's good to see you guys. I hope you're doing well.
Absolutely, man. Good to be here. Yeah.
We're glad to be here.
So at the time of this recording, we are pushing towards the holidays. So I got to ask, is it cold there yet? Does it feel like it, or does that kind of sneak up on you?
No lie, right now 84 degrees outside. So it kind of makes me sick.
No.
Yeah.
So what are you? Have you been in Dallas for a while, or did you grow up somewhere else? Or
we spent most of our lives in Texas, and actually, both of us grew up in the Houston area, which is worse than Dallas. Yeah. So, yes, but even up here, it's like, man, we're just eager for that winter.
It is
weather,
sad. I bought a lot of firewood, a lot. It's just sitting in the bed of my truck, and I bought it in September,
and the AC
and have used
is going
it twice.
In the house.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
that's 84. You know, I guess it goes both ways. I don't know that I would complain about 84, but around Christmas, that just doesn't seem...
Something's not right.
I remember being in Southern California in a mall one time about this time, and it's sunny and 86 and just as mild as it can be, and they're playing Christmas music. And in my mind, I'm thinking, that is a really good effort, California.
That's right.
You guys are really giving it a go.
That's what counts.
All right. So the Bible, I want to start here. The Bible study out in March, see for yourself how to study your Bible with confidence and joy. Mm. So I would just begin this conversation just saying that is an interesting angle to take for a Bible study, that we would need to point out that you can do this with confidence and joy in the world that we live in. So I just want to start by asking you, and our listeners are comprised of mostly people that are in a disciple-making role of some kind, small group leaders, educators, discipleship pastors, small group pastors are all in there, as well as some others. So let me just start here, Jimmy and Kelly. What problem is this Bible study solving? And then from there, I want to talk about, what did you guys learn Jimmy, what was learned in this experience? But just start there. What problem is this Bible study solving?
I think the problem it's solving is that lots of Christians are not experiencing the "I am studying my Bible with confidence and joy." They're experiencing the "I am having other people study their Bible with confidence and joy and then tell me what they found." And so while there is for many Christians a big yes to "I love the Bible, I've got 15 in my house," all that, when we have just anecdotally engaged with folks in our own community, what we've noticed is, for all of your championing of Scripture, you actually are really intimidated by it, haven't navigated it for yourself, and you're really relying on other voices, which are good, mm-hmm. But you're relying on other people's encounters with the Lord and His Word in a way that He has something for you, like to mm-hmm. to connect straight to you from His Word. And so we've been eager to see folks just go to the source. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I would say that. What would you add to that?
Yeah. I think it's doing the work of giving people the skills that they need to study the Bible, which is a really, I think that's unique about it versus other Bible studies that are really focused on information. That what you're doing in See for Yourself is gaining skills that are going to equip you to open any book of the Bible and meet God in the pages, understand what it says, and overcome common obstacles and hurdles that people face when they open the scriptures.
I've read, and I think research would validate this, that one of the reasons that believers don't share their faith more than what we do is because of, Kelly, what you described, there's an intimidation there. It's like, oh gosh, what if I get asked a question that I can't answer? Mm-hmm. And more than likely, you probably are going to get a question yep. that you can't answer. So that should be just a given because, you know, unless you're carrying around a PhD after your name, you know, yeah. and you're scholarly, I think that's asking a lot of yourself. Yeah. And so it sounds like to me that the idea of confidence comes mm-hmm. there. It's like, this is a way that I can ingest the living word in a mm-hmm. way that makes me a more vibrant believer. Yes. And I think a lot of times we go into it maybe a little too scholastic, maybe thinking too heady about things. Mm-hmm. What about the joy word on yeah. that? You know, because when I saw this for the first time, I thought, okay, when I look around, you know, if you just lick your fingers and stick it in the air and get a sense of which way that the wind is blowing, and right, and these days the wind blowing equals social media footprint. Mm-hmm. What I don't see a lot is joy. Yeah. That had to be on your mind when you were putting this together as well, right? Yeah. So I would just yeah. be curious as to like that process, and yeah. when you were comprising this content and pulling this Bible study together, to what extent was that idea of a, you know, I'm running in just shy of calling it a cultural shift, yeah. but this idea of infusing more joy in this part yeah. of our lives as disciples.
Yeah.
You bet.
Well, that idea is baked in from beginning to end, and it's just such a high priority when we think about why we get people into the Bible in the first place. And that's really where this study starts, is what is the purpose? Why do you study this? I think a lot of people are coming because of some idea that they need to be smarter or have right answers. But the actual function of the Bible is to introduce you to someone who is joy incarnate. So the Bible is the primary way that we, Jimmy and I, are experiencing joy and delight in God as we get to know Him more. And that's what it exists for us. It exists to connect us to a real person who is joy. And I think helping people see that that's the purpose of the Bible, that's why you do the hard work to learn the skills, to study it deeper, that's why you endure with it when it's confusing or kind of you don't like what it's saying, is because, not just because you're getting smarter, getting right answers, you're meeting someone who is the source of your that's joy. Right. And we want that idea baked into people's thoughts when they think about opening the Bible, that that's their first thought. I'm about to meet God. And that's exciting.
Yeah.
There's joy there.
It's on my shirt. I didn't realize yeah. it till now, but Psalm 16:11, in your presence,
yep.
there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. And it's mm-hmm. like, okay, well, if that's true, and if God says in a very real way, we can interact with Him and meet Him through the display of His character and His promises mm-hmm. and His beauty in His Word, then that means to see Him in His Word is to connect with pleasure forevermore. I mean, that gets me excited about reading the Bible, and mm-hmm. we want to pass that on to people.
Yeah.
So I'm going to read this off the official bio. For those of you that don't know, Jimmy is a critically acclaimed singer-songwriter with 7 studio albums, multiple top 10 radio singles, and a catalog music which has been streamed more than 25 million times. That's not 100. That's not 1,000. That's 25 million times. I don't know if I've ever done 25 million of anything on Spotify alone. So there would be those people that might say, well, sure, Jimmy, Kelly, I mean, you guys are in the worship community. You just walk around joy all the time. I mean, I listen to your music. I mean, you're living like the Christian version of a Disney movie. Talk to me about, and I think this would be good for group leaders to know, And I'm just, this is an honest question. On this journey, what have you learned about the joy part of this paradigm? Because I would dare say that it's probably not true that you are just, you know, everything's just, you know, princessy Disney all the time. And that's not being presumptuous.
Sure.
But along this journey, what have you learned that you could pass on and have passed on in this Bible study about approaching the Word this way, about approaching a morning, any given morning or afternoon or evening with this, you know, this intentional joy?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, for the record, Disney princesses, they're only kind of happy at the beginning and the end. So there's a lot of the movie where Disney princesses
there are some ups and downs.
They're on the struggle bus. Yeah, that's right. That's right. I know you want to say something. I'll just begin by going, joy doesn't mean glib. It doesn't mean chipper.
Right.
It means solidly happy in your God who has you in his grip. Mm-hmm. And that's a different thing. That means that I can be like Paul, sorrowful and always rejoicing. So we don't want to give the impression that reading the Bible makes a person come away skipping even when they're in suffering. What we mean is there is a sturdy glad-heartedness that comes with knowing my sins are forgiven, I'm in his hands, that he has my future secure. Those are the things we mean by God in his word giving us joy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the reason that we at this point in our lives have a pretty stable joy is because of small deposits for many, many years that were very ordinary and fairly boring most of the time. And I think that's a mindset shift that we want people to have, is that this is not like a study like See for Yourself is not going to give you the ability to open your Bible one day and it just be magic. Oh my gosh, everything is amazing and I have instant joy. What it is going to give you is the skills to endure with the Bible day in, day out, see the value of those deposits that you're making so that when you look up 6 months from now, 1 year from now, 2 years from now, you'll notice, wow, there's a huge oak tree of joy in my life. How did that get there? Well, it got there through you being faithful to keep opening the Bible and stick with it and pay attention to what's there, meet God in its pages. And that's been true of us, that most mornings are not, we're not having amazing, wow, I had this huge epiphany and this, I saw this in the text. It's like, no, I'm just consistently watering the tree that is my faith through reading God's word. And not every day feels amazing. Some days are really hard, but there's something happening cumulatively over time when we stay in the word. And that's what we're finding most people have a hard time doing, because they don't have the vision to understand why it matters to read that way, what the purpose is of that reading. And See for Yourself exists to give that perspective and those skills so that people can be bought into that long-term, lifelong journey in God's word that will grow that oak tree of joy for them that we all want.
That's right.
Yeah, joy is a more complex word than I think we give it credit for a lot of times. I was in a conversation with my family, and my youngest daughter, who is 27, she was talking with a friend, and they were processing, oh my goodness, what's the Pixar, Inside Out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the question was, what emotion tends to drive you? And one of her friends said, well, I think it was sadness. And my daughter thought that was just awful. And then she asked me, which one of these, and I don't remember the array of emotions, which one of these tends to color you the most? And I remember thinking, oh my goodness, I think I'm going to say it too. It's sadness. Mm-hmm. But what she didn't understand is, it's exactly what Kelly is saying. There's a difference between like the weepy sadness that we tend to think of and just a lament about, and we should rightfully lament lots of things, not the least of which is what was lost in the wake of Eden and original sin and how that continues to ripple through reality today. We should feel that in a weighty way, but it's a lament instead of despair because of what we have coming, and we have hope.
That's right.
And so, Kelly, kind of like what you're saying, it's a more complex ideology, but I would say theology that we're talking about going into the scripture with this idea of joy and reading the Bible. So
that's right.
I think that is just an awesome way of looking at that. I appreciate you guys just taking that question on.
Yeah.
So let me ask you about just like in today's world, content like See For Yourself, why is it the right time for a Bible study like this?
Yeah.
Well, my first answer would be is because we are living in a time with probably the most amount of excellent content and resources that we've ever had. I mean, we have access to the best thinkers, pastors, theologians than we've ever had. And that is an asset in one sense, but it can make us weak in our own muscular strength to study God's word. Does that make sense? We lean on other people's work easily because it's right there at our fingertips. And so we're actually finding that more and more people are losing that ability to open God's word and study it for themselves because there's amazing content out there. If I have a question about something I'm reading the scriptures, I don't have to figure it out. I don't need to learn it myself. I can just go Google the answer, find the best voice in the world on that topic. But something is lost when you don't learn it yourself. You know, one of our daughters is learning algebra this year. And I love algebra. I love numbers, right? But if I answer every problem for her and give her every answer, she's not actually learning anything. I'm just doing the work for her. There's something transformative about doing the work yourself. There's something that I think God intends for us in studying his word on our own. Like the Psalms say, it gives light to the simple. Like there's something enlightening and that is happening for us in our brains and our way of thinking and our worldview when we wrestle with the text for ourselves. But so many people are losing that skill because of just the wealth of resources we're surrounded by. And so we want to give people back those skills, not to not use the great resources out there, but to just make sure they also have the ability to study for themselves. I don't know if you would add to that.
Yeah. Well, I would, I'd add to that, that we're in an interesting cultural moment right now too, where you have this sort of, groundswell of people going, oh yeah, that book, I think that book might matter. Mm-hmm. You know, like, you guys probably have, all the data there in front of you, but, from what I've seen, it looks like year over year, it looks like the Bible sales are up about 23.
It's true.
Percent, maybe even 30% from last year.
I don't know the percentage, but that's true. And it's units, you know.
Yeah.
It's the number of Bibles that are being bought. Yeah.
Which is wild. Which is wild. We're in a very and you know you're seeing a lot of especially in Gen Z interest in church in Christian community, and so there's definitely like you have guys even on the sort of Christian fringes who are awakening people's interests, like Jordan Peterson and those guys who have a big voice into culture, especially young men. And so, for whatever reason, God in His providence is seeing fit to have this moment. There's a peak of interest, and so it's like, man, what a great time to go. Okay, you're coming to this book for the first time. It's going to be really tempting for you to just leverage all the resources, Kelly said, but let's get you in the primary source.
Right.
Let's have you see it with your own eyes, because God has something for you there.
All right, so let's play that out. So let's say I'm in a mentor-mentee relationship, or on the very front end of that, or I'm a discipleship pastor, but I'm having a hard time. Really getting traction with this kind of thing that you've just that you've just described, Jimmy. How do you counsel people in these roles in those first steps in moving people past the hump? Like earlier in our conversation, we talked about confidence, and let's face it, the Bible is like someone says, "I'm reading the Bible." It's like, "Oh yeah, what are you reading?" And they look at you and they say, "Well, Genesis." You know, it's top to bottom, left to right. You know, sure. Page one to page whatever. But the Bible is a different kind of a document. Mm-hmm. How have you learned to help people make those first steps towards this future state of studying the Bible with confidence and joy? Yeah. What's that impetus, that first step look like?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the first thing that you have to do is give people proper expectations. There's a lot you're going to read you don't understand, and that's normal. And that's okay. This is a book that's meant to be read over and over again for a lifetime. It is a meditative book, right? That's meant to give you insight over multiple readings. So just to give, when I'm discipling people or mentoring groups, just to give them permission to say you don't have to understand everything. Just you opening it and reading it is doing something in you. God promises that in his word. So setting expectations. And then the second thing I think that's really important is giving people something to do that's very actionable and very simple. And I think that could be many different things. One of my favorite things to suggest to new readers of the Bible or people in my life is to say, read one chapter a day and keep open a notebook page, a journal, and just write a list of everything you notice about God. That could be as simple as, oh, God speaks. Okay, you know, and then next to that, write down all the questions you have. Does that mean he has a voice that's audible? Like, what does that mean? Oh, God hates the injustice. Oh, God interacts with his creation. Just keep a list of what you notice about him, something that's a simple step that anybody can do. Now, there's a lot of different suggestions you could give. You could give somebody just the task of writing questions. Sometimes for very new believers, I don't even give them the chance to write things they notice. I just say, just read one chapter and write all your questions. But even that, keep somebody engaged in the text and gives them an expectation that it's normal to have questions. And that's a type of engaged reading that's still very valuable to somebody. And so with right expectations and a simple task like that, it'll help somebody come to God's word and stick with it. So we're hoping that See for Yourself will give a lot of those types of activities and exercises for people to kind of pull in an a la carte way and give it to maybe someone in a small group and go, you know what you should do? Read this book of the Bible and do these things as you go through it. But that would be my answers. That simple task makes all the difference.
I also think giving people a vision for what's happening on sort of a meta level. I can be really intimidated if I think about this book, go to the table context, 66 books, mm-hmm. and then the chapters in the books. And it can feel so overwhelming. Mm-hmm. But I love helping people on the front end go like, okay, this is not this intricate like owner's manual for some sort of supercomputer that you've mm-hmm. got to figure out. This is, yes, 66 books, but it's doing one thing. It's telling mm-hmm. one grand story about one great person. It's doing that work. And I have found it lowers the bar of entry quite a bit for people to go, oh, okay. So I'm not on the lookout for 900 things in here. But there's one big thing happening. And yes, there's other things beneath that, but I'm on the lookout for something larger and grander. Oh, that okay. Mm-hmm. I can get my arms around that, just even intellectually. Okay. And now I'm ready to move forward.
Mm-hmm. I just want to point out something for everyone, just hearkening back to what Kelly said. I think set expectations, just to be clear about what you're getting into and how you read something like the Bible different from really anything else. And just to make some things clear, like you don't have to know everything. You just need to get in the Word. Mm-hmm. And then the actionable piece of it, and Kelly gave some great examples there. The other piece that neither Jimmy or Kelly mentioned is this idea of thoroughness to change habits of people. Mm-hmm. It's not just hitting them one time or two times. And so this study is over 10 sessions, 10 group meetings in 9 weeks. And so over the course of that time, these things that Jimmy and Kelly are describing are actually changing habits. So mm-hmm. you're getting into the Word, which a lot of us do, but you're getting into Word in a specific way, in a helpful way. And mm-hmm. I love the way that you guys are setting this out as something less than programmatic. There's mm-hmm. a lot of plans out there and things that are have a tendency to be somewhat rote. This feels a lot more organic with a lot more space, mm-hmm. Honestly, to operate and to grow and to be in this nurturing relationship that we're talking about. So let me ask you this, because I love to ask about cultural Christianity. First off, I've spent a lot of my life, we live in Colorado now, but I've spent a lot of my life in the South. And so it's really interesting to look at this region from like the West and with some perspective. But as you guys have been on this journey, as you have crafted this content and seen this project through, how do you think it helps believers combat this idea of cultural Christianity to cultivate a genuine devotion. Now, there may be those out there saying, what are you talking about? And it's cultural Christianity. And the way that I would describe it as easily, well, as pithy as I could, it's going through the motions. Mm-hmm. It's not like Kelly said, where you're double clicking and you're camping out on something and taking it, really ingesting it, like Jeremiah and Isaiah and Ezekiel did with the scroll and the coal and the sword. It's the way that you ingest it and make it a part of yourself. That's what genuine devotion is. So I don't know that we do that enough, but it sounds like you guys had that in mind as you were crafting this content. Yeah. Do you have a specific way that, you know, you maybe juxtapose those two things, or you had your eye on this idea of a superficial faith compared to a genuine devotion as you were pulling this content together?
Well, I think it kind of comes back to the importance of having firsthand experience, firsthand knowledge in God's word, not only secondhand, meaning I'm reading it for myself, not just getting the information from someone else. So, for example, I was raised in the church. Had a church experience like many people who are probably listening to this. And every culture that you're in has cultural things with it. And it was interesting that reading the Bible for myself as a young adult began to undo some cultural Christianity for me. As I was reading my Bible, I'm going, wait a minute, the church I grew up in, or just the cultural things that my friends that were more cultural Christians say or do or how they think, that's not what I'm reading here. I'm reading the original text. I'm getting firsthand knowledge of the Bible, and it's course correcting some cultural Christian things that might not be from God's word, but just maybe, you know, I don't know how they all start, tradition, habit. And so I think the Bible is a firsthand knowledge of the Bible is a really good antidote for cultural Christianity. It can be a good course corrector for things that get off track, and it becomes like the plumb line for us to go to our churches or other places of, in the culture where we see Christianity gathering, whether it's in a church or a parachurch ministry or just in our friend groups, and go, well, wait a minute, this isn't what I'm reading about in the Bible. I'm seeing it talk about this issue this way or that way or this other way. But you have to have firsthand knowledge. You have to be able to read it for yourself and go point to where's the chapter and verse that I'm seeing that. Now, that knowledge doesn't come overnight, but what we want to encourage people to do is be bought into this idea that you need to be a lifelong reader of God's word for yourself. And as you do that, it is an antidote for those things, for that kind of unhealthy cultural Christian thing that can happen for all of us.
Mm-hmm. In your roles as disciple makers, and I would hazard a guess you have a lot of those opportunities. Do you come across like a group of people that seem to be stuck? I mean, is that something that you feel like you encounter in your relationships? And I'm just wondering how, you know, what have you learned about moving people through? There's a book years ago called The Trellis and the Vine where I think the author talks about the places where he gets stuck, and I always thought that was kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. How have you guys worked through that, either yourselves to push through to another level or in relationships with those people that maybe are in a mentor-mentee kind of relationship with you guys?
Mm. Yeah, I think it's actually pretty easy to get stuck. It's easy to get stuck in God's word. I think it's one of the reasons that so many of us put the Bible down. Yeah, one of the things we tried to do with the back part of this book was identify some of those occasions for that. You know, what do I do when I don't understand this thing? Like, I just don't, what on earth? What is the book of Ezekiel? Eyeball wheels? And, you know, like, how do I make sense of this? That we get stuck there. Sometimes we get stuck. A lot of times I find this to be the leading thing is I'm stuck because I don't understand what it says, but I don't like what it says. Mm-hmm. That offends me. That hurts. Mm-hmm. Is God really like that? Yeah. Do I want to have relationship with a God like that? Mm-hmm. And so I think it's so important for us to be able to identify those as disciple makers in the people we're investing in. Mm-hmm. And then as disciples of Christ ourselves to go like, okay, what is, I have resistance here. What is that? Oh, I think I'm bothered by how God talks about the relationship between men and women in Scripture. Mm-hmm. Okay. Instead of running away from it, I need to name it and now move toward it ask good questions of the text, those types of things. And so the whole back three chapters of our book is just addressing those things to give some handlebars to get out of that.
Right. And hoping to, in doing so, to demystify that process, that it honestly, that the tools and skills we're giving in those moments are not like mind-blowing things that you're like, you know,
that's right.
Wow, that was, yeah, I would have never thought of that. It's usually pretty ordinary things. Like, remember, this book is about a person. It's helping you get to know God. Remember to come at it relationally. You know, like there's some simple skills that we're just trying to help people remember, because sometimes we get stuck because people only see a small portion of maybe our lives. They're listening to this podcast. They're seeing their pastor for an hour on Sunday morning. They look like they're doing good. I feel stuck. It's probably, I probably can't get unstuck. It's inaccessible to me. And I'm hoping both of us at this study will give people those tools to see, no, this is really ordinary stuff and you can do it at home. And it is kind of the long journey of consistent daily habits that really help all of us when we get to those sticky places in our lives. And we don't give up in that moment, but we keep waking up the next morning and going, there's God promises in his word that it will not return void, which means every time I open it, even if it feels boring and blah, or I'm frustrated with it, there's something happening, even if I can't feel it or see it. And in faith, I'm going to choose to keep going and know that that's what any other believer in my life is doing too. I just don't get to see those moments of their lives. I see the nice shiny ones, but there are some hidden deposits other people are making, and I can do that too. And then ask God, help me get unstuck in these ways.
Demystify is a great word for that context. And Jimmy, what you said about not running away from, but deeper into, not disengaging, but higher engagement, even if, even in maybe there's some sense of doubt. I had a mentor that used to say to me, above all things, stay engaged.
Yeah.
You know, don't disengage.
That's right.
Whatever you do, there's a lot of stuff you can do, but don't disengage.
That's right.
And you know, just that ideology is really good. All right, got time for one more. I want to just ask about the writing process. Did anything surprise you as you wrote or developed this study? I'm just curious, like, because in the process, you know.
Sure, yeah. Well, I learned that my wife is a ninja at asking just awesome questions of people, of giving great exercises. I mean, it just pours out of her. And when it's my turn to do it, I'm like, Kelly? Yeah.
Well, and to compliment that, like, while I love doing that, Jimmy's vision for helping people reframe how they think about something, I want you to see this moment of you waking up and opening your Bible differently. I want you to have a clear kind of vision in your head for why you're doing this, what's happening when you do it. And so I think that was fun for us in doing this together, to see those two kind of natural instincts and skills as we tried to write these studies to be very similar, so that even husbands and wives who are doing them would feel like they have the same language and they're experiencing the same thing, that we're getting to utilize, you know, those compatible strengths. So that was a fun new exercise for us in doing that together, and really enjoyable.
It was.
Yeah,
I like her.
As it turns out.
It's good. That's 20 years
well, that's going to wrap it up for this episode of the Group Answers Podcast. And again, See for Yourself is the Bible study, How to Study Your Bible with Confidence and Joy, available in March. And it was a really good conversation. I think you guys can see why this would be a good addition to your group and a good experience for you. So I'd like to thank Jimmy and Kelly Needham. Thank you for taking time today and being with us. That's going to wrap it up for this edition of the podcast. Thanks for being with us, and hope to see you again on down the road. This episode of Group Answers Podcast was brought to you by our team: executive producer Angie Elkins, producer Nikki Ogden, edited by Donnie Gordon. All episodes are recorded at my personal studio in Evergreen, Colorado, with the help of Riverside FM. Artwork by Lauren Urban. And I'm your host, Brian Daniel. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time on the Group Answers Podcast.